2020, it is said of you that you are marvelously helped of God. In the name of Jesus, Jehovah has laid help upon you. In the name of Jesus, and by his help you are doing.
I believe that it contains the word of God. This morning, my heart is open, my mind is alert, my ears are open to hear the word of God for me from this book. And I declare that as I hear, I am changed, I am transformed, I am metamorphosed. My life will not be the same. I declare this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, give the Lord some praise one more time. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Greet someone on your left and on your right and have your seat. We have to start a new series today, isn't it? Amen. We have to start a new series today. And what are we talking about? How to have a great year. Amen. How to have a great year. All right, we'll get to work. So we'll just go into talking about how to have a great year today. We've broken into three parts. The first part is what? Anchor your soul. How to have a great year. How to have a great year. If there's something you must avoid as a Christian, is living by assumption. You can write that down. Living by assumption. The reason why many believers year in, year out, have promissory notes from God, we release prophetic words, pastors and prophets and teachers and apostles all over the world, release the word of God, okay, concerning the body of Christ, concerning the family of believers, year in, year out, and then we don't have many believers taking delivery of those words. The reason is because many times people live based on assumption. When you talk to an average Christian on the street, you can perceive that in their language. There's a lot of assumption. There's a lot of confidence that people know when they don't know. Hallelujah. Back many years ago, in GST class, many, many years ago, they talked about little learning is a dangerous thing. I can't remember how to say it, but I still remember that phrase. By little learning is a dangerous thing. Listen, in this kingdom, just knowing is not enough. Your knowledge must come to a place where it produces persuasion. Are you listening? A place where it produces conviction. And it is that conviction you use to produce results. Results flow from a place of persuasion of the soul. Never forget that. Head knowledge is never enough. In your journey on earth, what you know on earth, what you have somewhere in your mind can never produce for you the God kind of results. If that knowledge has not become number one, it has to be the right knowledge. Amen. And then the right knowledge must become a persuasion for it to produce results. Hallelujah. Very important. When you say how to have a great year, many people have an idea. Maybe because they've had, there was a year that was great. Let me tell you something. If you are not consistently having great years, you don't really know what it means. Amen. A proof that something has been crystallized as a personal knowledge, as a personal awareness, as a personal tool to work with is that you can reproduce it again and again and again. Meaning as a believer, your life is consistently upward and forward. There's no ups and downs. Hallelujah. You know, when we say this, some people are like, probably say there are no ups and downs. You know, we have down times. No, that is not in the Bible. Listen, our job is to line up our experiences to fit what the word says. We don't step down the word to fit our experiences. The moment you begin to step down the word to fit your experience, you are out of the way. What did the Bible say? The path of the just is like a what? Shining light that shines how? Brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. A translation says, the longer they live, the brighter they shine. Hallelujah. That means you should never have a better yesterday. You should never have a better last year. That is not God's will. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15. We'll start the teaching from there. How to have a great year. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15. You give it to me in New King James, if you have it. He said, the labor of fools be with them, for they do not know even how to go to the city. They are laboring. There's activity going on. It's amazing how many people think that activity equals productivity. Listen, you can have a year full of activities. You can have a year full of running up and down, running from North Pole to South Pole. It doesn't guarantee results. I tell you the truth. It doesn't guarantee productivity. It doesn't guarantee fruitfulness. It says the labor of the foolish. Are they laboring or not? Are they hustling or not? You can replace the word with hustle, which is what people are used to. The hustle of a fool wearies them. That's what he's saying. He said, bros, God bless your hustle. If you don't know how to go to the city, you cannot be blessed. That's what he's saying. The hustle or the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them. Why? They do not know how. If the Bible you are holding is yours, underline how. You know what that means. If you borrow the Bible, don't underline it. So you don't have questions to answer. Glory to God. If you ever borrow me a book to read, I will underline it. That's part of the reasons I can't borrow books. I'll have to buy, because the only way I feel I'm participating and fellowshipping with the book, I have to underline and write on, not just underline. I'll just write across, write this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, for they do not know how to go to the city. They do not know how to go to the city. For every season of life, there is a how. For every block of time, to have dominion over every block of time in eternity, there is a how. To conquer any mountain, there is a how. To step up your game to any level you want, there's the how. To produce any desired result, there's the how. One of the things that God has done for humanity is to ensure that his universe is governed by laws. That makes life very predictable. Glory to God. Very important. Listen, what I just said, don't have this somewhere in your mind. Growing up in Africa unconsciously has programmed us for superstitious living. And we crossed over into Christianity with it. I tell you the truth, align us. Is there. So when you are telling a Christian that there is cause and effect, he can hear you. This is why you must keep renewing your mind. He may hear you and say, ah, that's nice. But somehow in the core of his being, he thinks there is no really cause and effect. Something will just have to happen somehow. And somebody will be lifted. No. No. 1,000 times no. There's cause and effect, meaning there are buttons you press to produce a particular kind of outcome. Are you listening? That removes mystery from life. Oh, somebody says only failures think of luck. The great things of cause and effect. There's a how. There's a how. And this applies to every area of life you want to balance out this year. Remember, there's a how. Your first job is not to get to work. Your first job is to know the how. Hallelujah. I'll say this year again and again. Hi. That God is really not interested in believers coming, turning to him with their needs. You know, when I say this, as though God doesn't want to meet our needs. But talk to me now. Many people have been praying for years now. Is that the truth? To go fast in life, you must learn to pause and ask questions. Many people have been fasting and praying. So it's not about just turning to God with your need. So According to what you need now is prayer. So there's a lot of shadow boxing. They pray. They say, let me add fasting. We add fasting. And they say, he sits sewing now. We sit sewing. They say, it's service. They say, ah, Pastor, can I come and wash your clothes? I say, no, my clothes go to laundry. There's somebody that's washing them already. They say, it's service. Glory to God. A lot of shadow boxing. Is there anything wrong with the things I've mentioned? No. But you see, there's a particular understanding required. In this kingdom, what you do is not as important as why you do what you do. And most times, the knowledge of why you do what you do is what guarantees the results for what you do.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
I'm going somewhere. I need you to follow me. They are wearied by the activities. They are tired of the hustling. The outcome is not commensurate to the input. Somebody has decided, this year, I go walk. This year, I will hustle. This year, you must know how to have a great year. Glory to God forevermore. I say, glory to God forevermore. Assumption, we say, is the lowest level of knowledge. There is the exact way and the exact body of truth required to master the year. So I need you to pay attention to the truth I'll be sharing. What does it mean to have a great year? Let me just read through the things I've written. Number one, it means the year where God's word and specific plan for your life finds manifestation on the earth. Let me say that again. Having a great year means having a year where the word of God and his plans for your life concerning the year finds manifestations on the earth. Somebody say, can God speak and it doesn't happen? Yes. Can God speak a word to me and it doesn't find fulfillment on the earth? Yes. Every word that God speaks needs the partnership of man for fulfillment on the earth. Is that true? By now you know that. Mary was not the only virgin in her dispensation. Hallelujah. But she was the one that accepted the word of God. She said, be it unto me according to your word. And she conceived. No, when Samuel went to anoint the king, the new king, the house of Jesse, notice what God told him when he wanted to anoint the firstborn. He said, God told him, he said, don't anoint him, for I have rejected him. Meaning God considered him. Because God honors order. Amen. If he was the firstborn, God was going to consider him. But what did God say? He said, I've rejected him, meaning I considered him. Why? He did not position himself to be anointed as the king of Israel. Rather, he was the one that was forgotten at the backside of the desert that was ready. So preparing to partner with God for his word concerning your life. Listen, God has a word. God has a specific plan. And I put it as the first thing, deliberately. Because listen, having a great year doesn't start by you bringing a plan for God to bless. It starts by you discovering his plan, and it's not difficult. His specific plan and purpose for your life for the year. Glory to God. When he finds manifestation, listen to me. If God, what God has willed for your life of this year finds manifestation, you're already blessed. You sure will have a great year. I love the way a preacher puts it. He said, when I figured that God was more ambitious for me than I could ever be for myself, I submitted to him. A lot of times religion has taught us that submitting to God's will is living a second class life. No. No, come on, God has class. Are you aware? You think you are more ambitious for yourself than God? God is more ambitious for you than you could ever be for yourself. And his plans, his path for you will always bring joy, fulfillment, prosperity, and greatness. Look at the 12 men who left everything to follow him. Well, did they become small? They became shakers of nations. So that's the first thing. I say prophecy, I've said it already in teaching. Prophecy is an expression of divine intention. You must learn how to partner with God for its fulfillment on the earth. Many people don't know that. When prophecy comes, this God saying, this is my intention. Do you agree? Number two, a great year is the year where at least 70% of your spirit-inspired goals are achieved. Number three, a great year is a year of deeper walk with God. When you're on fire for God throughout the year, not swayed by the spirit of this world. Amen. That is very important. There's such a thing as the spirit of the world. There's such a thing as the spirit of the world. When you maintain your love walk, you maintain your faith walk, you are perpetually on fire for God through the year. That's a great year. Where your spiritual temperature is at optimum level. Glory to God. As a believer can have low spiritual temperature. That's the truth. I told you last Sunday that anything that is against your prayer, I can't remember when I said it. Anything that comes against your prayer life has come against your life. I think I said something like that last week. There's such a thing as spiritual temperature. What the Bible says in Revelation, it says you are neither cold nor warm, you are lukewarm, therefore I'll spill you out. So God wants us to be hot. He wants us to be on fire. Our heart is His primary altar. This altar is a secondary altar. Amen. Your heart is the primary altar. And what was the instruction I was giving to the priest? He said the fire must not go out upon the altar. Glory to God. The fire must not go out. So being on fire through the year is having a great year. Number four, victory on every side. Victory over every challenge that you may face through the year is a great year. It's a great year. Hallelujah. Not winning some and losing some. So I'm trying to paint a picture of a great year. God is progressive. Meaning this year you should have more money than you had last year. Can I get an amen? You should have more influence than you had last year. You should have more grace and anointing at work in your life than you had last year. You should have more wisdom this year than you had last year. Meaning if you ever made foolish decisions last year, you can't make those decisions this year anymore. There's a step up, glory to God. There's an increase in wisdom. That's what God wants. Hallelujah. All right, so the first thing, which is what we'll talk about today, is anchor your soul. Tap your neighbor. Tell them, anchor your soul. Turn to another neighbor. Say, new neighbor, anchor your soul. Hallelujah. Anchor your soul. Look up at me. God has designed that we live life from inside out. Not outside in. In fact, most times the reason for the running around, the reason from the going from North Pole to South Pole, the reason for the unnecessary toils and guesswork and shadow boxing that believers engage in is because unconsciously they think life is from outside in. So most times we are reacting. Most times we are responding to the stimuli coming from the outside. Most times we are moved or overwhelmed by what is happening on the outside. Not be conscious of the fact that God has designed that from the internal environment we regulate the external environment. Very important. The outcome of a man's life is equal to the character of his soul. Meaning nobody can ever produce results on the outside beyond the content and the character of his soul. Nobody. Life is from inside out. So the condition of a person's soul, the anchor to which a man's soul is hooked to, determines the results that the person produces. Very important. I'm going somewhere. I'm still laying foundation. Anchoring your soul. Anchoring your soul. anchoring your soul. People are looking on the outside to make things happen. What God has designed, that we look on the outside, on the inside to make things happen. We change the inside to make things happen. Glory to God. It is the truth to which your soul has latched onto that is responsible for the result you produce on the outside. Nothing more, nothing less. We read, I believe it was later part of last year. When you go to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus painted a picture of how the world works. He said, for these people's hearts have waxed gross. They are seeing, they cannot see. Hearing, they hear not. Their heart does not understand. He said, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. Meaning, if a man can see with his eyes, hear with his ears, understand with his heart. Because the eyes and the ears are the gates to the heart. They are the gate to the soul. So he said, if a man can see with the eyes, hear with the ears, and understand with his heart, and be converted. What conversion is he talking about? He's talking about the conversion of the soul. He said, I should heal them. What is manifested in any life is simply a result of the character of the mantle. Or what has the hold on the soul is what will manifest on the outside. Meaning you have to live out your persuasions and the convictions of your soul. Hallelujah. Is somebody following me? What is an anchor? Or to anchor, since we are using the verb. To anchor means to secure firmly, to hold in place in the water. I like that. To hold in place in the water. To secure firmly by a reliable support. That's what an anchor is. So the first decision as we've entered into the year is to anchor your soul. And you have to ask yourself, what has the hold on my heart? For some, it's the disappointment of yesterday. They can't get it off their soul. That's the picture they see. Every time they think about the visions of the year, they think about the disappointments of last year. Rid your soul of that. Don't let it have a hold of your soul. For some, it's the current challenge that they are faced with. But I want you to decide in this service to let your heart, your soul be anchored to the word of promise, the blessed sworn word of promise of the Lord concerning your life of this year. Listen, every time God speaks a word to you, his throne is back of it. It may be a simple prophecy, I will be with you. It may be just reading from scriptures, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The moment thou will get a hold of your soul, know that the throne of God is backing the fulfillment of that word. Know that God has, listen, every word of scripture is a blessed sworn oath from God to you. When you receive it by faith, there must be fulfillment. I say that again, every word of God in scripture to you is a blessed sworn oath. Meaning every word you read, every word that comes to you through prophetic utterance has come to you through the blood. Has come to you through an oath. Has come to you as an immutable counsel. Give me Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We'll start from verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6. Anchor your soul. Anchor your soul. If your inner man is hooked to truth, if your soul is anchored to the truth of God's word, there's no way you can fail this year. It's not possible. There's no way you will not have a better year. There's no way you will not stand on December with overlapping testimonies, with endless testimonies. There's no way. It's not possible. God does not lie. He has not lied to everyone. The question you ask is, if your soul has been anchored to the truth, Because until the truth becomes an anchor to your soul, it cannot produce. I told you, it is not the truth you have somewhere in your mind that produces. It is a truth that has become a persuasion. A truth that has become a conviction. And it is through the process of anchoring your soul to truth that truth becomes persuasion and conviction. And the reality in which you work. Are you seeing this? He said that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Next verse. Just give me King James. Then if I need another version, I'll let you. He said, for God made a promise. I want you to follow closely. For God made a promise to Abraham. Listen, everything God told Abraham, he told you. Did you hear me? Everything he ever told Abraham, he told you. Why? You were in the loins of Abraham spiritually. And the Bible proves that. Hebrews said that. He said, Levi paid tithe in the loins of Abraham. He said, Levi, from which the Aaronic priesthood came, gave tithe to Melchizedek. When he was talking about the high priesthood of Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek, so he said, in the loins of Abraham, the seeds of Abraham gave tithe. In fact, the writer of Romans, Paul, said that the promise that God made to Abraham was not just to Abraham, but was to Abraham and his seed. That is how we come in. That what God told Abraham, he told us. Why? We are the seed of Abraham. Why do you think Abraham believed? Let's continue. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Remember, Abraham did not have a Bible. So God had to speak to him. And he said, Abraham, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. I will make your name great and make you famous. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And he spoke words of blessing. I will cause your seed to inherit this land that you see. It's just like you opening the Bible today and seeing, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you listening? It's the same thing. But I want to show you, when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham needed certainty. He told God, he said, and don't forget the dispensation that these men lived. Remember in Genesis 14, we saw a bully. In those days, somebody can just come and bully everybody. There was no United Nations. There was no World Court, International Court of Justice. Remember a bully in Genesis 14 called Chedorlaomer. He just came and bullied five kings and took Lot and his household. But there was a covenant man who could not be bullied. Maybe you can have a land. A king will just come with his army. He says, surrender your land. And if you don't have a greater army, you're gone. You start paying tribute to him. He lived in the dispensation of bullies, of sorcery, of divination. Are you listening? So when God came to him and said, I'll give this land to you. I'll cause a seed to come out of you. Abraham answered, he said, God, how am I going to know? Listen, if you understand this, your faith life will jump to another level. Abraham asked God, he said, how am I going to know that these things you are speaking to me will come to pass? Now, this is what Hebrew is talking about. Put it up now. This is what Hebrew is talking about. He said, when two men are arguing, an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. So when there's a contention between two people, they go to someone who is greater and swear and take an oath. And the moment they take that oath, they know, I know that this man will keep his part of the covenant. I will keep my part of the covenant. That's what he's saying. God's word by itself has integrity. But yet God wanted to assure Abraham and his seed. God wanted God wanted to make sure you have faith. He wanted to convince Abraham and you. It's okay, I'm going to swear. But the problem is there's nobody greater. So he swore by himself. Are you listening? But God said it, I'm going to bless you is enough. But God wanted to confirm the immutability of his counsel. So that we can be doubly sure that his word works. So that we can be doubly sure that his covenant cannot drop to the ground. He swore by an oath. Listen, that's why every word of God concerning you is a blood sworn oath. Blood sworn oath. He looked around. There was nobody. It's all right. I swear by myself. I'm the greatest. I swear by myself. Now, why do men swear by greater? It means if they break their word, that greater force can destroy them. But God said, since I'm the greater, I still swear. That if I break my word concerning you, I will self-destruct. Are you listening? You now understand what David understood. Why he could stand before Goliath as a 70-year-old man. He stood before a giant that an entire army could not take down. Listen, he was too young to be in the army. But there was something he knew about the covenant. He had a persuasion. His soul was anchored to the covenant. He had an anchor for his soul. He wasn't motivational speaking. He was saying, no. He was not psyching himself. His confidence was in the Abrahamic covenant. Did you hear what he said? He said, who is this uncircumcised? He brought in circumcision. He didn't say, who is this giant? No. Who is this uncircumcised? To him, circumcision meant a seal of the covenant. For the other people, it was a tear in the flesh. Anchor your soul. Anchor your soul. So it's not about hiking. Listen. Listen. What is the word of God? The word of God is, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. The word of God is, if you aspire and perspire, you acquire your desire. Listen, that is human motivation. He can only go so far. He can only go so far. He can only go so far. He has no answer for arrows from the village. Are you listening? If you inspire to perspire and perspire, you acquire your desire. I say it has no arrow. When one baba sits down and shoots arrow, can he protect you? But when your soul is anchored on the covenant, I told you, urbanization is the killing of power. Yes, sir. You sit inside traffic, you go and eat shawarma, you watch football and watch movie, and then you give God 30 minutes. The man in the village, the atmosphere is conducive. I told you, why are they sending arrows from the village to the city? He does not have screen to be watching. He is dedicated to his altar and priesthood. Are you listening? In the city, we are too distracted. Too distracted. And far enough from truth. Who told you? Listen, life is 101% spiritual. If you know how to press, but what did God tell Job? He said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Watch this. He means earth is regulated by the ordinances of heaven. That means if you are a man who understands the ordinances of heaven, you know how to transact in the heavens. You know how to press this abyss and beast. You will regulate the earth. That's what he's saying. You regulate the earth. Listen, life is a bloody affair. If you don't have a covenant, you are not going anywhere. Anchor your soul. Are you listening? Anchor your soul. Anchor your soul. David was not psyching himself. He approached Goliath on the ground of the immutability of God's counsel. Put it back again, Hebrews. The immutability of his counsel. The Bible says we are of the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. We are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, we have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, glory to God. We have no confidence in the flesh. David did not look at himself. His confidence was in the covenant. How did he kill the lion and the bear? Have you ever seen a lion before? Have you ever seen a bear? When they looked at him, they said, ah, you are a boy. This man has been a warrior from his boyhood days. He said, oh king, here is my resume. I kept my father's flock. And one day a lion came and took one of the kids. Oh, Malachi. I went after a lion. Wait, do you go after a lion? Is that one a normal shepherd? Remember, he was at most 16. Shabalagabayadagaba. There was something David knew. There was something David knew. There was something he knew. His soul was firmly anchored. Listen, if your soul is not anchored, you see the lion, he took the kid. He just won. Number one, you if you don't run away, you let it go. You let it go. Lion. But what did he say? He said, I went after it. He said, I smote it. No, I took the lamb out of his mouth. He took the lamb. Then the lion said, ah, wait, oh, has the food chain changed? I'm sure the lion, you know, surprise. Ah, what just happened? He said, the lion came after me. Hiya. Malagaba. I tore it. I tore it. I tore it. I tore it. I did the same thing with the bear. 60-year-old, if it wasn't less than that. Oh, hallelujah. Just hit your neighbor, say, anchor your soul. Anchor your soul. Anchor your soul. Anchor your soul. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't believe in fables this year. Anchor your soul to truth. Don't believe in fables. I'm not done. Put it up for me. He said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Meaning, okay, I don't believe you, I believe you, I don't believe you. What ends it? Oath or confirmation. Is this helping somebody? Lord, are you really sure you will bless me this year? Are you sure you multiply me? An oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Next verse. He said, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise. Who are the heirs of the promise? He's talking about us. To show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel. He did what? He confirmed it by an oath. He confirmed it by an oath. So when you read from Jeremiah, the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. He's a blood-sworn oath. That means in the face of danger, his presence is guaranteed. If your switch of faith is on. It's a blood-sworn oath. The Lord is with me as the mighty, terrible one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Confirm the ban, oh, the mutability of his counsel. Next verse. He said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Oh, lagabaya. A strong, that means hearing what I'm telling you from God's word. That every word of the Lord to you is a blood-sworn oath. You should have a strong consolation. You should have a strong consolation that his words will come to pass in your life. Not in heaven, on this side of eternity. That his words, his allocation for you for the year 2020 is going to come to pass. that we may have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19. He said, with hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, hallelujah. What hope is he talking about? Hope means pictures. Hope means pictures. Meaning the pictures that his word paints. The pictures of his promise. The picture of this transaction that we just read. That God was willing to show to us the mutability of his counsel by confirming his word by an oath. He said, that is the hope we have as an anchor of our soul. Both sure and steadfast. Is somebody blessed this morning? So anchor your soul in the word. Anchor your soul in worship. Anchor your soul in warfare. Those three things. Anchor your soul in the word. Anchor your soul in worship. Anchor your soul in warfare. Anchor your soul in the word. Anchor your soul in worship. Anchor your soul in warfare. Let me see, read two scriptures first. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 23, verse 6. Sorry, 26, verse 3. Hi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind? Whose soul? The mind is the seat of the soul, the will, and the emotions, right? Thou will keep him in perfect peace. That means we can replace mind with soul. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Whose soul is anchored on thee? For he trusteth in thee. When you read from verse 1 to verse 4, it gives us the context. It's talking about salvation and faith in Jehovah. That's the context. He said he will keep him in perfect peace. The Hebrew word is shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. Shalom means wellness, welfare, prosperity, calmness, supply. He said he will keep you in prosperity and peace. Whose soul is anchored to him? Whose soul is stayed? Whose soul is relied upon, is holding firmly to him, for he trusteth in him. How do we trust God? We trust God by trusting his word. Are you listening? That means the moment your soul is stayed on him, he will keep you in shalom. That's what he said. He will keep you in shalom. 3 John chapter 2, verse 2. 3 John verse 2. It has only one chapter. 3 John verse 2. It shows us again, if your soul will prosper, you will prosper and be in health. I wish above all things, beloved, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. Can you see? I mean, it's a believer whose soul is anchored will prosper and be in health. How's that he say? But if you try to prosper and be in health without your soul prospering and anchored, that's what results in the frustration and the confusion. Anchor your soul first. Hallelujah. Whew. So I say the word of God is not human motivation. The word of God is his immutable counsel that we read, his blood-sworn promise, fulfilled through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Everything that Jesus represented and demonstrated is the word. Everything that Jesus represented and demonstrated is the word. He demonstrated supernatural supply. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. When we say loaf, it's not agege bread loaf. It slices. No, use your imagination. Can a little boy finish 5 loaves? Your traditional loaves, you understand? He's talking about not 5 loaves of shadow bread. He's talking about 5 slices. No, imagine, the Bible calls a little boy's lunch. So don't think of 5 big loaves. Okay, let's cut this one. Or just carrying them and say, no. Or just 5. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. He had just 5 slices of bread. He lifted them and multiplied. That is the word of God in demonstration. That much can come out of little. He said, look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah the boy. He said, for when I called him, he was but one. I blessed him, he became a multitude. That's the word of God. You start a business this year with 10,000 naira, and before the end of the year, it becomes 10 million. You start a business with 50,000, before the end of the year, it becomes 50 million. Who believes what I'm saying? He said, when I called him, he was but one. I blessed him, he became many. At least 3 major faiths on earth trace their origin to Abraham. At least 3. There are other people. At least 3. They call him our father Abraham. What a blessed man he was. Oh, glory to God forevermore. But how did he become so great? God gave him a word. And he anchored his soul to that word. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, so Abraham, the father of faith, had his soul anchored on the word of promise. And that was why he did not stagger at the word. In Romans chapter 4, let's read Romans chapter 4, 17 to 21. Romans 4, 17 to 21, very quickly. His soul was anchored. So when God, and I'm going to show you how he got his soul anchored, what God did to help him. I'll just share 3 things with us. That God did to help him anchor his soul to the word of promise. What God did, that's the first one. What God did to anchor his soul to the word of promise. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God. He's talking about Abraham. Who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. Next verse. Who against hope believed. You know he's talking about Abraham. Are you aware? Previous verse, he's talking about Abraham. He said, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Hi! His soul was anchored. So against human hope, he believed in hope. Next verse. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's own. Sarah was menopause times 2. I like to say that. Oh, but the power of this word that he had received rejuvenated her body. Are you aware that a year before she conceived, a hidden king was toasting her? Are you aware? Meaning she was 89 years old. Hiya. That's your great grandmother. Amen. And then listen. Don't say it's because of Christian virtues. Nalai. Nalai. You know why? Abimelech was a hidden king. Man looks at the outward appearance. He's not looking. He wasn't looking for Christian virtue. You know who a king in those days meant? God help you if they are eyeing your fiancé. You know he's gone. Game over. Are you aware? Game over. Game over. Game over. If a king ever eyed your babe in those days, in fact, at his benevolence, he will spare your wife. You understand? That's at his benevolence. But if he eyed, he's gone. No. Amen. I just remember something like that. Let me not tell you. I just keep it loud. Amen. Some people are very funny. You know, when I was a single, one of my mentees, somebody I mentored, he's a very funny guy. He said, "Pastor, I can sow my babe to you." He said, "So that I can reap." He said, "So I can reap this labor, this chaos." God. I laughed, I almost fell down. Of course, he's married to the girl now. Amen. The girl was there when he was singing, she was laughing because he's a very funny guy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, at 89. At 89, a hidden king was eyeing an 89-year-old man. I'm talking about the power of God's word. What they received began to affect their physical body. Listen, the greatest power in the universe is the word of God. Never forget that. The Bible says he holds all things by the word of his power. We are the ones playing with the word. The greatest power in the universe. Let's say the universe is expanding at an alarming speed, right? Still expanding. The word still working. It's almost 7,000 years now. And Hebrews said he holds all things by the word of his power. That word they received began to affect their body. Until at 90, Abraham was attracted to Sarah. Of course, she was still hot. She conceived. Amen. You're all looking at me funny. If you don't know what that means, go to children's church. He was 100. When the Bible talks about the deadness of his body, hope you know what it meant. To show you the word. Listen, this is why I talk about transformation. When it happens, it cannot be reversed. After Sarah, Abraham produced 6 more. So it wasn't coincidence. Magadiah. So when Sarah died, he married another wife and produced 6 sons from Keturah. You remember? That means when the word worked on him, it wasn't just to produce Isaac. Oh. See, let me tell you something. When the word of the Lord is at work, the results are multifaceted. Meaning the word of God transformed his body. Even when after Isaac was produced, his body was still rejuvenated. Do you understand that? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Put it up for me. He was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. He staggered not. He staggered not. Meaning when you are staggering, your soul is not anchored yet. Get back to the closet and anchor your soul. Oh, when you are still talking about prosperity, God, this prosperity thing, you are not sure. Maybe I'll just be diligent and work hard. Even one believer said, your soul has not been anchored. The wealth that God has promised you is covenant wealth. Your hard work will never deliver it. Never. I believe in diligence is important. But what is coming is blood bought. We'll call it blood money. Amen. If you are not expecting blood money, you are not a Christian now. You don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. Are you aware that blood was shed for our prosperity? If blood was shed for you to have money, what is the money called? Satan does not create anything. He steals and corrupts. I'm sure when you hear blood money, someone say, I remember that film I watched in 98. As I won, they say blood money. Somebody was shaking like this and money was coming out. That's kindergarten blood money. Do you understand? Oh, hallelujah. Have you noticed that when the Passover blood was shed and spirits were released, one of the things that happened in Exodus, you remember what happened? The Bible said God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. What happened? They plundered Egypt. They plundered Egypt. They plundered Egypt. There was a wealth transfer because of the Passover. The Bible says Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. So very quickly. He did not stagger the promise of God through unbelief. His soul was anchored. All right. Remember James chapter 1 talks about the double-minded man. He said, let that man not think that he can receive anything from the Lord. Put it off from James chapter 1, start from verse 5. I'm taking my time to read through the scriptures. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberally without upbraiding, and it shall be given unto him. Amen. So he gives us the principle of receiving from God. Next verse. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. His soul is not anchored. Next verse. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You now see why I talk about persuasions. You now see why I talk about a soul that is anchored on truth. He said, let not that man, this is Bible. Let not that man think that I shall receive it. Next verse. I like the way he puts it. For a double-minded man is unstable. Not just in prayers. In all his ways. I tell people, instability is a disease that must be dealt with. You see a lady jumping from one relationship to another, to another, to another. He's a symptom of something bigger. He must be dealt with. You see a guy is jumping from here to here to here. He's a symptom that must be dealt with. The same thing with church. Somebody's in church 3 months. He has moved to this church. Another 6 months. He said 1 year. This phase of my life is over. This phase of my life. Have you heard that English? You've heard that English. They have phases of their life. They have dealings. And is high. The Bible says, he that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the anything that produces fruit is planted. Go and check it. Let me tell you something. I'm not teaching about the importance of church growth today, but of the local church today, but it's very important. You can go home and experiment it. Take a corn seed. Plant one here, plant one here. Every week, uproot this one, plant again. Next week, uproot it again. Why you leave this one in one place? And tell me the outcome after 3 months. And tell me the outcome after 3 months. Very important. Stability. And I tell young people, be stable. Be stable. Contend for consistency and stability. Are you listening? Very important. I've always been in two churches in my adult life. Two. Very important. And when I left where I was, God told me to start church. So when I was doing ministry, I had a local church while we were healing the sick and casting out devils. My pastor knew me. Are you listening? His name is Reverend Gunwok. Are you listening? And on Sunday, we are in church. We don't sit in front, we are at the back. But we're casting out devils and preaching and winning souls. Glory to God. Very important. He said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, the realm of the spirit honors consistency. Let me tell you, those you see on the stage today have people in their generation who were more anointed than them. Go and ask them. But their major undoing was instability. Part of it was they were not humble enough to come under authority. Major undoing. Glory to God. Stability. Listen, in this life, somebody must be responsible for you. At every phase of your life, somebody must be responsible. You cannot be hanging. Somebody must be responsible for you. Hallelujah. If you sense the call of God on your life, that you are called doesn't mean you have been sent. Amen. So you go somewhere and serve first. I love the way Reverend Chris put it. He said, your pastor, he said, I don't care, your pastor, a mega church, you pastor 10,000 people, you've never served. He said, hand over that church, go somewhere and serve first. Because you cannot lead others when you don't know how to be led. Amen. And if you have not been led to a point where your ego has been punctured, you've not been led yet, especially in the house of God. Has anybody ever told you, come and sit down here? My friend, is something wrong with you? Are you fine? Are you smoking something? If you don't have, nobody has ever told you that in your life. You know, I tell ladies, when you are dating and you want to marry a man who does not have anybody to correct his madness, that's one chance. You are gone. One chance. Amen. One chance. Some of us have been through that. Sit down here. Did you smoke something? Is something wrong with you? Amen. Say, no, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Glory to God. You see, that's the way to authority. Because God can never trust you. How is he going to trust you with people? You don't know how to handle them. You know what it means to be shouted on. You know what it means to be rebuked. You know what? So you know how to handle others even when they make mistakes. Except you're not preparing for leadership. Glory to God. That's by the way. Genesis 49 verse 2. Let me just show you about anchoring your soul. Oh my goodness. Are you getting blessed? The last verse sounded like Koboko. Amen. It's good. Are you receiving the Koboko? It's good for you. It's good for your health. Glory to God. Next verse. Hi. He said, gather yourselves together and hear ye the sons of Jacob and hearken unto Israel your father. This is Jacob. Next verse. This was where Jacob was blessing his sons. And then he started with the firstborn, Reuben. He said, thou art my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of my dignity, the excellency of my power. Next verse. You'll be shocked. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. That means excelling and instability don't go together. Are you understanding? You know what he's saying? When your soul is not anchored to truth, you cannot excel. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Amen. He said, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed and defilest it, he went up to my couch. Okay, let me just say this. Amen. Because I believe everybody has a call of God on his life to be a leader. Let me say this. When you are serving under authority in an office, number one, and if you are serving in the marketplace anywhere and somebody is paying your salary, you don't have any right to criticize the person. Whether it's a bad man or a good man, you have no right. Amen. It's an expression of disloyalty. Let me just drop that. These are boss server. I don't even understand. Just a bad man, Jerry Top. No problem. We are just here. Eh? You just broken a law in the spirit. That's secular work. Working in the marketplace. Not even kingdom setting, church setting. That one, the trouble with it is too much. It's too much. Meaning, you know why I'm saying this? When Reuben did this, he thought his father did not know. He actually thought. So on the day of reckoning, he just stood to receive the first one's blessing. And shockingly, what he thought Jacob did not, he said, for you went up to my bed. Remember, I had an affair with his father's concubine. And that could mean many things. That could mean many things. I've said this again and again. The anointing has intelligence. Never forget this. Why do we teach about honor? Why do we talk about honoring the anointed, honoring the anointing, honoring the carrier of graces? It's important. The anointing has intelligence. Listen, the man of God really doesn't use the anointing. The anointing uses the man of God. That means when you come before a man to receive, the anointing upon him has the intelligence to discern whether you honor him or not. So he may be speaking from his heart to you, but the anointing upon him says, no, we can't bless this one. The anointing has intelligence. Life is spiritual. You've got to anchor your soul. Hallelujah. Oh, we've got to run. All right, what were the two things? What are the two things that God helped Abraham to do? Two major things, and then I'll add the third one, but not from Abraham. Did to Abraham to anchor his soul. Number one, God changed his name and gave him a confession. God changed Abraham's confession. Write it down by changing his name. God changed Abraham's confession by changing his name. Genesis 17, verse 5. Listen, his name was Abraham. He changed it to Abraham. Abraham means what? Father of a great multitude. Look up at me. A lot of people don't know that your name is a confession. Very important. Every time they call you, every time you say Dr. Caris, what are you saying? Dr. Grace. That's what you're saying. It's a confession. Well, your name is, maybe your name is Rejoice. I'm going to call you Rejoice. That's a declaration. Oh, you ask, what's your name? Say, my name is Rejoice. It will be your experience. Glory to God. My name is Great. My name is Wealth. My name is Joy. My name is Gift. Whatever it is, it will be your name is a confession. Imagine they ask Abraham, oh, sir, what is your name? My name is Father of a Great Multitude. So everywhere he went, Father of a Great Multitude. Father of a Great Multitude. Father of a Great... Listen, you cannot dominate what you are not speaking to. It's not possible. Write it down. You can never dominate what you are not consistently speaking to. Write it down. You cannot. You can never dominate anything you are not speaking to. The number one tool God gave Adam to rule the world was words. Are you listening to me? The number one tool that was given to Adam to rule the world was words. Words have remarkable influence on your soul. Remarkable influence. So when God changed his confession by changing his name, God was helping him believe. God was helping him anchor his soul. Watch what you say with your mouth this year. Watch what you say to your spouse, your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, people around you, people you have authority over. Watch what you say to your own self. Watch what you say about yourself. Don't be responsive and reactive in your conversation. Be deliberate and creative. Because words have creative ability. Every time you speak, either creation or destruction begins. Every time you speak, you say, no matter what happens, I'm winning. What are you doing? You are conditioning your soul. This year, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah is my helper. You wake up in the morning and you are saying, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I have path through the sea, path in the wilderness. In the name of Jesus, God has sent me an army of helpers. This year, in the name of Jesus, my helpers of destinies, they are locating me. In the name of Jesus, I will never be stranded another day of this year. I will never be sick. No sickness will fasten itself to my body. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet to the tip of my toes, I walk in health. I walk in strength. I walk in the healing of God. The spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. That same spirit vitalizes my physical body. Listen, the way God takes control of our lives is by putting his words in our mouth. That's what James says. He said, how do we control the horses? We put what? Beats in your mouth. That's what he's saying. So God takes control of our lives by putting his words in our mouth. He takes control of your finances by putting his words concerning your finances in your mouth. My God does supply. You check your balance and it's nothing to write to him about. And you need to do something. Instead of complaining, my God supplies. All my needs are according to his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus, I'm the man that the Lord has helped. Glory to God. And then you are sitting down to renew your mind. You can clap if you want to. You are sitting down to renew your mind concerning prosperity. You will rise. He changed his name. So from that basis, some of you, it applies to you. Listen, don't be emotionally attached to the name your parents gave you. If it does not have meaning, change it. You can't be saying, Ogun is great. That's your name. Oshongo is great. That's your name. Amen. Or your name is, what is this? No, it may be a native name, but that's the meaning. Or an English name, but that, change it. Be loyal to your future. That's the first loyalty. Are you listening? Amen. What is this? Or somebody say, this word is not even good, or something. Funny names. Change it. Go to God and say, Lord, give me a new name. God will give you a new name. Amen. You know, it sounds funny, but it's serious. It's serious. There's someone I knew in the village years ago. They were living in the city. And, you know, I heard some years ago that she died. She struggled and died. And left some children back, their husband, the brother. And I've always thought, when I began to understand spirit, I would ask my mom, I say, is this person's name not about death? They say, yes, the name they give. You know, when people are having miscarriages, and then they give birth to one that stays, they just give maybe death, or death, dead body, or death is the same. You know, now, in some Yoruba, Kogi, you know, they have Benue, they give those names. And then, I was sad. Change the name. Your name cannot be the dead has come or something. It cannot be. Let me tell you. Three areas of loyalty that is absolute. Number one, your loyalty to Christ. Amen. Number two, your loyalty to your future. Are you listening? And number three, your loyalty to the relationship that God has given you to. Pastor relationship, mentor relationship, spouse relationship. Are you listening? Apart from that, there's no... Don't be attached to things that is not going to take you to where you're going to. Glory to God. Are you blessed this morning? All right. So God changed his name. We said, put the right things in your mouth. Situations, listen. It means you have to be louder than the pains. You have to be louder than the fears. You have to be louder than the sickness. Louder than the situation. Situations are always speaking. You must speak louder to them than they are speaking to you. Speak louder. Number two. He brought him out of the tent and told him to look towards heaven. That's prayer and vision. Genesis chapter 15 verse 3. Prayer amplifies the influence of truth on your soul. Write it down. Prayer amplifies the influence of truth on your soul. You can practice it. Why is it important to pray while you listen to God's word? Pray before you listen to God's word. Pray after you listen to God's word. Prayer amplifies the impact or the influence of truth on your soul. You keep two believers, they're hearing the same word. One has a culture of prayer, the other one does not. In the process of time, one will be more successful in God than the other one. Are you aware of that? He said, look to whatever. I mean, you carry the truth and pray with them. Pray in tongues with them. Pray with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anchor your soul. Anchor your soul to the immutability of his counsel. Pay attention to his word. Pay attention to his truth. Pay attention to the covenant. Let your soul be so persuaded, be so convinced about what God has said concerning you, concerning the year, that it dictates what you think, what you say, and how you act. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. You know, faith can be perceived. Faith can be heard. When people talk, you can perceive it. In fact, when people sit before you, you know whether they will succeed or not. When you hear people talk, when you hear people talk about their visions and dreams, you know who is likely going to succeed very fast. Or who needs care, who needs motivation. Okay, there's this thing I want to do. I don't know. God will help me, Sha. This is a... There. You are not persuaded. This year, I don't even know. You are not persuaded. You don't know. This year, you know. The Lord is your helper. You know. It's your year of intimacy and power. You know. There'll be great manifestations of God's power in our lives. You know. You know. Stay with the truth until your heart is persuaded. Stay with the truth until you are fully persuaded. Stay with the truth. Stay with it. It won't happen automatically. Stay with it. Stay hearing. Stay speaking. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship. Stay declaring in warfare. Counseling. Listen, Satan is also interested in your soul. Are you aware? Don't be quiet. This year, if you need to do warfare, every day do it. Warfare means declaring words of power against the oppositions of darkness. It means taking communion and declaring the power of the blood. Amen. Over your life. It means canceling every scourgings of the tongue.
Yes, sir.
My time is up. I would have taught you about the scourgings of the tongue. Listen. This is your little success that you have. There are people that are. Somebody say something. I did hear. He said, preach on. Amen. I'm looking at my time. Listen. One of the things that hinder people from making progress is this negative speakings of men. Not everybody likes you. That's why I say, even if it's your little success that you have, that you pass SSC, there's somebody who hates you already. That you're a graduate from school, there's somebody who hates you already. Are you aware? You know, the way some people just live their life like nothing, there is an adversary. And he uses human agents. Are you listening? Amen. You must learn. The Bible said, thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the headmaster over the nations. Magaya Tosa. Amen. You will speak it all when you wake up. I said, recently, you know, God began to teach me from last year. And I'm designing a confession to give us to declare. From last year, I've been speaking every scourging of the tongue against me. Job said in Job chapter 5 verse 21, he said, the Lord shall hide you from the scourgings of the tongue. The scourgings of the tongue. The scourgings of the tongue that begin to affect the flow of things in your path. The scourgings of the tongue. You don't know, somebody can say something carelessly and you can lose a husband. You don't know. I'm interested in that. I'm interested in that leader. And say,
really?
Okay. Well, no. As simple as that too. In fact, sometimes the person may not even be serious. You know, this is why being spiritual is non-negotiable. So I say, simply like that, yes. Yes. But you see, when you are praying in tongues and releasing your own arrows, you cancel things. Are you listening? You cancel things. Every scourging of the tongue against my life and destiny, every negative pronouncement, they are nullified by the blood. In the name of Jesus. They are nullified. Are you listening? They are nullified. So people always speak good things about you. Good things about you. The first time somebody gave me ₦1,000,000, I really did not know the person, but somebody told him about me. He said, this person speaks highly of you. Glory to God. Imagine if the person did not say anything about me. Amen. Or you say bad things about me. This person speaks highly of you. Has somebody ever given you ₦1,000,000? I say, no. Say, take. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
You are just sleeping and snoring. You will rise and put the word of God in your mouth and make declarations. This year we have said, every day you break bread. Hope you have been doing that. Go and buy your communion elements. I don't know if they have them outside. Buy every day, break bread. Before the end of the week, I'll send us confessions to be taken. Every day of this year, I told you the communion table is a power system. It's a power system. Break bread every day. Speak concerning your health, your finances, your ministry, your destiny. And crush the scourges of the tongues against you. Every negative pronouncement, leave back at us. Speak in tongues, say they are crushed. In the name of Jesus. Are you listening? And sometimes those things come as guilt and condemnation. Listen, guilt and condemnation is not of God, no matter what you have done. Listen, if you like, before you came to church today, you killed 5 people. God believes in you. And listen, just give your life to Christ at this service. And don't let condemnation, I'm serious. A major way Satan locks us out of our inheritance is through guilt and condemnation. That's what the blood is there for. When you break bread, you say, Lord, my entrance to you is this blood. My access to you is this blood. Not my goodness, not my goodwill. Hallelujah. Because see, let me tell you something. Let's just get this thing straight. You know, I tell people, you must get the ideology of Christianity right, the doctrine, the teaching of Christianity right. Christianity is not man approaching God with his goodness. You will never stand. You never stand. Christianity is getting to God through the way of the blood. Are you listening? And if you ever see God, your life will not be the same. So no matter what you're struggling with your sexual life, maybe sex, addiction or pornography, stealing, tobacco, alcohol, whatever the struggle. You see, what Satan wants is because of the struggle, you want to arrange yourself before you approach God. No. You approach God through his blood. Are you listening? But make sure you get to his presence, because the sin of his face will kill that thing in your flesh. Are you listening? When you behold him, let me tell you, nobody really fails because of the weaknesses of their flesh. No. People fail because they are absent from his presence. Nobody. No matter your garbage or weakness, just stay there. Aya. Just stay there. Know that it's not that your weakness that will destroy you. It is your absence from his presence. No, God does not. It's not. That what? What did Jesus die for? But see, we don't go where we are transformed. The Bible says, as we behold, we are changed into the same image. And it takes a consistency to behold. Are you listening? It takes a staying to behold. So no problem. Go to God. No matter how you feel, just go to God. God will always welcome you. Always, always, always. Never forget that. Because he knows his presence will change you. His presence will transform you. That is the doctrine of Christianity. No, Satan won. And sometimes those feelings of guilt and condemnation are darts from Satan. That demonic darts. What do? You tear them and declare their blood is my qualification. I'm qualified for God's best in the name of Jesus. Rise to your feet with a shout. Oh, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you. Laga baratosa. Can we pray for 3 minutes? Saga balatosa. You have heard the word of the Lord. I want you to pray passionately that in the name of Jesus, my soul is anchored to the truth of the covenant. My soul is anchored, mapatolaba, to his presence. My soul is anchored to his immutable counsel. My soul is anchored, lipatolaba, to the truth that I live by. My soul is anchored, shapatolapolata, likopotos kapalatosa, likokapa sabalatos. Pray aloud. My soul is anchored. Let the prayer come from your heart. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
We are going to pray that in the name of Jesus and by the blood of the everlasting covenant, every scourging of the tongue, every negative pronouncement against my life and destiny in 2020, I stand here, I declare them nullified. I cancel them out. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Josh! Seratobata! Every scourging of the tongue, every negative pronouncement, they are canceled. They are canceled. They are canceled. In the name of Jesus. The Lord has hidden me from the scourgings of men. In the name of Jesus.
Every scourge is on your tongue. Shaka. Every negative confession, negative pronunciation against my life. Shaka.
Begin to declare, doors, gates are open. In 2020, for me, doors of opportunities are open. Gates are open. Shakopata. Litopotosa. I rise like an edifice. I arise and I shine. For my light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Gentiles are coming to my light. Kings are coming to the brightness of my rising. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every hand lifted.
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
In 2020, your vision is clear.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In 2020, you have eyes that see.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I declare, by reason of clarity of vision,
fire,
the speed of the Lord is your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare there are wings on your feet.
Amen.
Where others walk, you are flying.
Amen.
Where others run, you are soaring.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare the release of your destiny helpers in 2020.
Amen.
Every helper of destiny.
Amen.
Allocated to help you this year.
Yes.
I stand in this place in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Ah.
From today, Liko Baba, Seiatosa,
yes,
they begin to locate you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your hands are strengthened.
Amen.
Your feet are strengthened.
Amen.
Your soul is anchored to the
Amen.
Covenant. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You will enjoy promotion this year.
Amen.
You are making progress this year.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You will not know a lukewarm moment this
Amen.
Year. Every day of the year, you will be on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
The fire of the Lord will keep burning on the altar of your heart.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare new revelation of the Christ to you.
Amen.
I declare a new revelation of God to you.
Amen.
You will know the Lord this year.
Amen.
You will be intimate with him this
Amen.
Year. Your eyes will see his power
Amen.
And his glory. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray for explosions of the supernatural power of God.
Yes, sir.
The power that works miracles. The power that brings multiplication. The power that provokes fruitfulness. The power that brings dominion. Lift your hands. Shekola balata.
Yes.
Is a year of intimacy and power.
Yes.
I speak to you.
Yes, sir.
Ah. In your life, in your ministry, in your business, in your career. Likopata. I declare explosions
Amen.
Of the supernatural power
Amen.
Of God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your eyes will see his glory this year.
Amen.
Your eyes will see his goodness this year.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Indeed, men will look at you and say,
Amen.
Kai, you are the one that the Lord has helped.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Give the Lord the loudest shout of praise.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.